1, we pick up reading again in verse 39. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which the Lord, which were told her, rather, from the Lord." Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you to have the opportunity to return to this blessed and marvelous account of our Lord Jesus as a wee baby just beginning in the womb of Mary, and the interaction between these ladies that yields for us the first revelatory praise, instructing us and helping us to consider the uniqueness, the blessedness, the significance of He who was born from Mary's womb. We thank you today for the confidence that we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that others would find it too. We pray as well that those of us that know Christ and love Christ would find our hearts uniquely knit together in praise and adoration to Him, our Lord, our Savior. We ask in Jesus' name and for His blessed sake. Amen. We said last Lord's Day morning that this particular moment of meeting between Mary and Elizabeth was no ordinary moment, in which two very miraculously pregnant women came together, and Elizabeth sounds forth, as it were, in what we've called revelatory praise. It is appropriate, I think, to characterize the meeting between Mary and Elizabeth here as the first incidents of Christian fellowship on earth. The shared joy and enthusiasm of these two ladies is much more than a simple family reunion that haven't seen each other for a considerable period of time. That certainly was true. It was the case in this meeting, but it's much more than that. It is more than a fellowship of two mothers happily pregnant. As we said last Lord's Day morning, this is no baby shower. Mary and Elizabeth come together in this unique moment of time, and the Scripture is absolutely clear that Elizabeth is filled with joy and enthusiasm, and Mary is filled with joy and enthusiasm centered in the person of Messiah, the Christ. They are not just celebrating the baby. They are celebrating the man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it will become clear and clearer and clearer as we study and consider next, in coming weeks, the Magnificat of Mary and her sense of understanding. And then Zechariah, John the Baptizer's dad, and his sense of understanding. It becomes clearer and clearer that these dear, godly, Old Testament era saints had an understanding of the uniqueness of that moment and what it would mean. They couldn't have possibly known what it would mean to us, but we do know what it meant to them. I trust that's true. This morning, we want to direct our thoughts to the message that is delivered by Elizabeth in that moment of record. As we forecast last week, we want to focus upon the message in that moment when Mary said hello, when John jumped, and Elizabeth speaks forth, as it were, or sings forth, as it were, in revelatory praise. It is extremely important that you and I characterize the words of Elizabeth correctly and not sentimentally. Sentimentalism is a great curse to biblical Christianity. Don't you ever forget that. Sentimentalism is a curse. These are ladies are not being sentimental. These ladies are erupting in a moment in which clearly the Scripture says the Holy Spirit of God is in absolute control. The truth that flows out of Elizabeth's mouth is not anything less than a heavenly orientation. Verse 41 stresses the fact that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 42, and she spake out. You better connect those two verses. That's why we've characterized this moment in time as an expression, a moment in which there's an expression of revelatory praise. The revealing of the attitudes and the truths of heaven on earth in a spectacular moment under the Holy Spirit's control. Let me quickly illustrate. When Elizabeth said that John jumped for joy, I can hear 25,100 women saying something similar than that based upon this great doctrine called a woman's intuition. Does a woman have any clue when the baby kicks that he's kicking because he met you? Stupid. Nice guess. Elizabeth was not making up in the excitement of the moment. Oh, my baby's jumping for joy. Ah! You didn't read that right. The Holy Ghost filled Elizabeth and she spake. John was jumping for joy. That's what the Holy Spirit said. That's what our Bible says. Amen? That's not motherly intuition. That's not Elizabeth just making up in the moment, as some women are inclined to do, just to add to the spirit of happy. No, not like that. She is saying the truth from God. And John did jump for joy in the presence of the Lord Jesus. I have great respect and personally have been benefited by the insight and intuition of a godly mother. Most of the things Leora told me, I took for heart. It was good. It was great. But at least on one occasion, as I thought about it, I remind myself of one occasion in particular in which my mother told me that she knew deep down I felt good about a thing. And I'm telling you, the woman was nuts. I did not feel good about it at all. And this thing about mothers know can be taken just a tad bit too far and often is. Mothers do know, but not perfectly. Mothers do know, but not omnisciently. Mothers do know, but not inerrantly. And when the Scripture says here that Elizabeth said that John jumped for joy in the presence of fetal Jesus, you can be sure of this, John was jumping for joy. Elizabeth is not just giving you her opinion. That is so extremely important that we characterize the moment correctly. That when Mary said hello, John jumped for joy, and Elizabeth spoke forth in revelatory praise, confirming what Jumpin' John was actually jumping about. That's important. That's important. It's important for me as a preacher this morning because I'll tell you, when emotions run like a river all over the place, man, it's great to plant your feet back on the majesty of God. And by the way, I didn't know it because I've never sat up here before when the choir sang. I've always been down there. Only had them for a week or two when I first came and couldn't see. But Linda leads that choir like I preach. I'm telling you, she does. She gets after it. I like that. There's some enthusiasm. I'm not going to let go of my seat up here now. I'm staying up here. I can tell you that. It's fun to watch. It's not hard to see, once you focus upon Elizabeth's message, it's not hard to see its theme. Verse 42, blessed, art thou among women? Blessed is the fruit of the womb. 45, and blessed is she that believed. What do you think the theme is? How about blessed? That'll work. The theme here is upon the blessedness of that miraculous moment. And so we want to just simply follow that Greek word, makarios, which should remind us of one of our teenagers whose dad knew a little bit of Greek and applied it to his family. Here the word is makarios. And it means blessed or happy in condition or state. Elizabeth not only says that she is happy in condition and state in that moment, she not only declared that John at 6 months of age was happy in the presence of Jesus in that moment, but she speaks, as it were, for Mary of the blessedness in the moment. And I suggest to you that really what Elizabeth said is true for all of us that believe. That is one blessed moment right there. Amen? Elizabeth, of course, when she said blessed, spoke or sung, as we raised the possibility last week, Elizabeth spoke or sung of her female relatives' privilege to carry the Son of God. It says, blessed art thou, speaking to Mary, among women. Those of you that have been studying with us may well connect the fact that those are the exact same words that the angel Gabriel said to Mary in forecast that she would become pregnant. And now, in the moment in which Elizabeth serves as Mary's EPT, her early pregnancy testimony, Elizabeth gives indication that Mary is, again, blessed among women. So the same message that was brought from the angel from heaven is now brought from heaven through the lips of Elizabeth. So that you and I would come to understand and appreciate the significance of that moment and the blessedness that we should rightly attach to Mary, connected with her role as the mother of our Lord. Verse 43, Elizabeth says, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, you know that we live in a day when some assign to Mary a greater sense of significance than biblically they ought. To assign to Mary the idea of Queen Mother, to assign to Mary the liturgical phrase, the Mother of God, although she was the Mother of God, the Son. But to emphasize those thoughts is to fly directly in the face of what Jesus himself would later say. You need to see that with me this morning. It'll be some months before we get there in our verse-by-verse study of Luke, but let's go to Luke 11 for just a quick moment. And let me just remind you of what the Lord Jesus said himself concerning proper attitude of reflection in regards to his mother. Luke 11 and verse 27. And it came to pass as he spake these things, Jesus is teaching, he's speaking, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Now, let me give you the T.W. Teal translation of that. You got a good mother. Mister, you had a great mother. Blessed is your mother, buddy. A woman in the crowd, after hearing Jesus spoke, said, blessed is your mother. Now, if somebody said that to me about Leora, I would say, thank you. And I would say, you're right. And I would say, boy, I really did have a good mom. And I would say, man, I wish she was still around. I really miss her since 99 when she went to heaven. Those are the kind of things I would say. What would Jesus say? What did Jesus say when somebody came and said, blessed is your mother? Watch, verse 28. And he said, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, that is no insult to motherhood. And if you're a dear lady today and you need to have a word of commendation, let me quickly give you one. God bless you for being a mother that is interested in the things of God and tries to lead your family correctly. God bless you, sister. I commend you. But that said, there is a blessedness that is on a plane far, 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 far superior than the blessedness of motherhood. And that's the blessedness of taking God at His word. That is the blessedness of hearing the word of God and keeping it or obeying it and responding to it attentively. Do you understand that in that answer of the Lord Jesus constitutes hope for every woman, hope for every man, hope for every teen, hope for every person? There is not a person in the sounds of my voice that does not have the capacity at this moment to hear the word of God and respond to it in obedience. And to do that, said the Lord Jesus, is to be blessed. Wow. Even though an angel from heaven said, blessed are you among women, not above women, among. Even though Elizabeth in revelatory praise said of Mary, blessed art thou among women, not above women, but among. And she is blessed, Mary. Bless the Lord for Mary. What a testimony she is to us all. Let's not in any way take away from her the godly model that she provides us in the Scripture. Amen? But let's be careful to follow the words of her Savior and her Son, God's Son and our Savior, who said, the most blessed one is he who believes the Word of God and keeps it. That, my dear friends, is biblical theology. And may we all embrace that this morning before we go home. Now, second thing. Elizabeth not only spoke or sung of the blessedness of her female relative's privilege to carry the Son of God, but she also spoke or sung of the blessedness of the fruit of Mary's womb. And of course, this is really the primary emphasis as it relates to the revelatory praise. Notice the words again in verse 43, my Lord. When Elizabeth speaks forth and she says that John is jumping for joy in the presence of the Lord Jesus, when Elizabeth speaks forth of blessedness concerning Mary, when she speaks of blessed is the fruit of her womb, the unique presence of the Lord Jesus bodily in her womb at that moment, she says, my Lord. Elizabeth's view of He who was in Mary's womb was that he was Lord of all. Wow. Mary was pregnant with Elizabeth's Lord. And the thing that divides us as a congregation this morning, if we be divided at all, the thing that divides us this morning as a congregation is right there. For many of us, I wish I could say all of us, I will say most of us. For most of us, the one in Mary's womb in that moment was my Lord and your Lord. And it's personal. and it's been made real by faith in Him. Amen? But it's sad to think maybe not all. One of the cool things that happened this morning, I knew this was going to be a great Lord's Day right out of the chute. Took a call early this morning from my son, Justin, at the hospital, and he was laughing. And that concerned me at first because he is my son and sometimes inappropriate emotions come, and I wondered if he was not losing it. But he wasn't. And he said to me, "Dad, cool thing just happened." I said, "Yeah, what's that?" He said, "Well, I just called back home at his house where he lives. Grandma and Grandpa Stallings have been with Jocelyn and Ethan during these days when Austin was born. Grandma and Grandpa Stallings do not know Christ." And one of the big prayer requests of our family before the Lord is that the Lord would open the eyes of Grandma and Grandpa Stallings and that they would come to know the Lord Jesus. I think we've been so goofy as to say, "Lord, anything it takes to get that done, we're willing." Looks like God's taken us at our word, and we'll be glad to take Him at His. But this morning, Grandma and Grandpa Hoskins got Stallings got up with Jocelyn, the 4-year-old, and Ethan, the 2-year-old. And first thing out of Jocelyn's mouth, she said, "Grandma, what day is this?" And Grandma, Mary, believe it or not, Mary said, "Sunday." And Jocelyn said, "Well, you better feed us quick because we got to go to church." And Mary said, "Jocelyn, Grandma and Grandpa aren't going to go to church today because Austin's in the hospital, and we got a lot of things going on today, and we're not going to church." And Jocelyn said, "But Grandma, we got to go to church." And Mary said, "Well, Grandpa and I think it's better if we just stay home today. And so we'll just stay home today, and you guys can play, and we'll have some fun things to do." And Jocelyn said, "No, Grandma, we got to go to church." And so Grandma and Grandpa said, "Well, okay." And the phone call this morning was Ed and Mary calling Justin and Kristen to say, "We're getting the kids dressed and we're going to take them to church. Is that okay?" "You bet. That's okay." So we will not criticize how God gets things done, but rest in His blessed promises one day at a time. Amen? That's the only way to really live, believe me. Now, back to the text. Before I forget where I am. The blessedness of the fruit of Mary's womb. My Lord, my Lord. It's interesting, by the way, if you think upon the aspect of that jump of John. That word "jump" is used in other biblical literature and extra biblical literature or literature outside the Bible to describe earthquakes in the midst of a catastrophe. Now, forgive me if this offends anybody. I'm not trying to be offensive, but I kind of picture this thing in my mind like this. Mary says, "Hello?" And John jumps. Boom. And when that 6-month pregnant lady had a catastrophe in her own belly, she did what I believe any woman would want to do. What do I call that? Bowing in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that cool? So John jumps, Elizabeth bows in the presence of Jesus, and then she comes up out of the water of baptism, sputing praise. I just love that picture. Now, if you think I'm stretching it, that's okay. You can argue with me anytime you want. Holy gymnastics. That's what I wrote in my notes. Holy gymnastics right there. Third thing, Elizabeth spoke or sung of the blessedness of Mary's faith in the Word of God. And again, taking nothing away from Mary, certainly taking nothing away from the moment of emphasis upon the fruit of Mary's womb, the Christ, the promise of the woman's seed fulfilled right here. But this praise, I believe, is like a musical song ascending. And in the same way, in my mind, as I'm sitting up here and the choir is singing, holy, 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 and majesty, and holy, holy, man, He is Lord, and holy, holy, and man, and it's moving, and it's growing, and it's getting bigger, and the music has us thinking about the grandeur of God, until bang, there it is. Is that how it worked for you? Sometimes I think I'm the only one in the room. I mean, honestly, sometimes I just wonder about it. But in the same way in which the music had that sense of crescendo, so blessed is Mary among women, and blessed is the fruit of her womb. And blessed, crescendo, here's the big truth, here's the main thing. On Sunday morning, September the 11th, 2011, First Baptist Church, Elto, Michigan. Here's the big thing. Blessed, blessed, and blessed, said the Scripture, is she that believes. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so the thing that the Holy Spirit puts at the mountaintop of musical crescendo, revelatorily being spoken out of the anointed lips of Elizabeth, is blessed is your faith, your dependence, your consideration of resting upon the one who is in your own womb. And not surprisingly, very soon, we're going to hear Mary say, my Lord. Just like Elizabeth says, my Lord. Because both Liz and Mary, like me, like you, need saving. And Jesus is the only Savior. That's just great stuff. Mary models for us the blessedness in that she believed the Word of God that was brought to her. In the same way today, you must believe the Word of God that is brought to you. God is pleased when people receive the Word brought to them with faith, with trust, with dependence. The people of faith in the Word of God are the most blessed people on the earth. Let me say that again. The people with faith in the Word of God are the most blessed people on the earth. Mary is blessed because she believed. And Elizabeth goes on to say to her, there shall be a performance of those things. Well, of course, duh. The Word of God cannot return void. Of course there's going to be a completion. Of course there's going to be an end. Of course there's going to be a fulfillment. Of course there's going to be a performance of the things that came from God to Mary's ears. For the Word of God cannot fail. It cannot return void. God's promises are as sure to be performed as anything that is sure. Therefore, a person with faith in the Word of God is a most blessed person. And I trust, not just with the words, but I trust from the depths of your heart, when you leave this place this morning, you can look at yourself and say, I am a blessed man. I am a blessed woman. I'm a blessed person. Because I have faith and confidence in the Word of God. There isn't anything that can substitute for that. The First Baptist Church documents have some things very well said. And here are those words written long ago in our documents concerning the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus in Mary's womb. It says, quote, "We believe that Jesus was begotten of the Holy Spirit in a miraculous manner, born of Mary, a virgin, as no other man was ever born or can be born of woman, and that he is both Son of God and God the Son." End quote. That, dear ones, is a good summary of the uniqueness and the blessedness of Jesus Christ. It certainly is one of the foundational reasons why we preach no other name but the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. But I need to remind you this morning that the salvation that is provided and offered to us in Christ Jesus, listen carefully, does not come by just believing the right things about Jesus. You need to believe the right things about Jesus. But the salvation promised from above, the salvation offered us by God, does not come to us by means of just believing the right things about Jesus. Salvation is about believing in or on the Lord Jesus. It's about knowing enough in your mind to settle the longings of your heart to come to rest in Him who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who died as a substitute for your sins on the cross, who beat death and rose again the third day, and ascended to heaven with these words, "I'm coming back." That Jesus, that Lord, that Savior needs to be understood and rested in, trusted in, believed upon. Jesus is my Lord. Many in this place this morning can honestly say that too. Jesus is my Lord. Others, not. Many have come to the place of resting their faith, their confidence in the person of the Lord Jesus. And if, in fact, the Lord Jesus is Lord to you this morning, then I would invite you to lift your heart in praise and adoration before God for the great thing that He has done. But if the Lord Jesus is not Lord to you, I must tell you that He is Lord still. For your opinion or mine does not add or diminish the reality of the full truth of Jesus. Jesus is Lord, period. Believe it or not. I must also tell you that there is salvation in no other name except the name of the precious Lord Jesus. And that's why the Scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Dear friend, you can take the promise, that promise of God, all the way to the bank of heaven. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us this morning as we think together with open hearts and informed minds. Help Thy people even now to lift their hearts in praise and adoration to You. commensurate to the greatness in your goodness, but draw upon the heart of the one lost and in their sins. Cause this to be a day of salvation in the heart and life of someone here apart from the Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just share with you that we preach the truth of Scripture line upon line, verse after verse, so that you can come to see the awfulness and the condemnation of your own sin. So that you can also then come to see the blessedness of salvation exclusively offered you in Jesus Christ. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. Scripture teaches us that God has made a way, only one way of salvation, through the reconciling death of Jesus Christ. Scripture says it like this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The good news that we declare is that Jesus, having died for our sins, rose from the grave and offers us eternal life. Exactly as the world's most popular Bible verse says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our prayer for you today, if you know not the Lord, is that today would be the day in which you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of believing in the Word of God, would know the blessing of life eternal. For those of us that have claimed the Lord as our own and have known that blessing of believing God and taking Him at His word concerning salvation, I would remind us in Christ that as we have received the Lord Jesus by faith, so we are to walk in Him. Believe in Christ and be blessed. Father, we pray today that those that have gathered here would know in a very personal and intimate way the very exact type of blessing referenced in today's text about Mary, about the Lord Jesus. May that sense of blessing be brought to our lives as we take You at Your word. For just one additional silent moment, with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there a person here today that would say, Pastor, today's my day. I'm casting my heart towards the Lord Jesus. I want to know Him. I will not just identify your hand, but I'll take your hand as an indication to make contact with you and get some things to you to be of help to you, to know Christ as your own Savior and to be responsive to Him. Is there someone today who by uplifted hand would say, Pastor, I'd like to have you contact me. I'd like to talk about Christ. I'd like to know the Savior. Heavenly Father, Your word says that man looks on the outward appearance, but that You look on the heart. And so we pray to You that knows the hearts of men, that You would draw individuals to Yourself, even as Your word says that You do, and cause us who believe to find our strength, our joy, our peace in Thee through the Scriptures. Even in this day, we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Please turn with me to number 4.